punch him and say, yeah, this is working.
Are you sure it's not?
From your apartment?
To your room and shit.
I was hoping you'd bring him the shit.
Okay. So here's the brief power up. So remember, we had this problem that on one hand, Mazik Hekish we saw as Pater, because it's not Rieu. On the other hand, Sia Gittin spoke about Konim Shapiglu, Bishasa Vadasam, and Archayev. Does everybody remember that problem? So Pnei Yeshua raised this question. Some of us suggested that maybe it's just, he even suggested that if it's just Bitoras Knas, then it's okay, because Miyakar Adinir Pater, but there's a special Knas. There, it's based on Hezek Shemavika, or Loshmi Hezek, there's a Knas. Maybe the Knas applies even when regular Nezikin is Pater. Another suggestion that he had is that maybe it's only according to Chaim Da'amar, it's only in cases of Kachim Kalim Mamun Bailim. And so it's only in those Mamun Bailim Kachim Kalim cases that the Kohanim would be Chayav for Pigel. There would be Pater for Pigel in every other case. I just have one suggestion here. Maybe a different resolution is that there's a distinction between Stam Nezikin cases. So your typical case of nezek, it's like when your car crashes into somebody else on the street, you have no previous relationship or no previous connection between the parties, and there's nezek. One person sure eats somebody else's property, one person sure kills somebody else's sure. So those are the cases where we say that hekdesh is la b'chal reyehu. They don't share the same system of social cooperation, so mazik hekdesh is pater. But maybe in a case where there's almost a quasi-contractual relationship between the parties. One party hires the other to perform a certain service for him, like somebody brings their carbon to the Beis HaMikdash and asks the Kohanim to be makrivit. So you might say there, because of the kinyan, or not the kinyan, because of the quasi-contractual relationship where he's hired to perform a specific service, then you might say there are special dinim of nezikin that go into effect. So in several areas, we've seen that the chiyuv nezikin will be different in a stam case than it is in a quasi-contractual case. Remember, we saw this in the Ramban in the sugya of Adam Mor Liolam, except there was the other direction. There the Ramban said, even though Adam Mor Liolam for nezikin, if it's a case of tabach uman shekilkel, you hire a shochet to shech an animal for you, there maybe you're waiving certain liabilities because you ask him to perform the service. Contrary-wise, we've seen certain cases where when the mazik is getting hana, his liability becomes greater. He's more liable because he's receiving something in compensation for his services. So here it would be slightly different. Here the idea would be that because the kohen is contracted to perform the service of being makar and karban, he has a different kind of liability than a standard case of nezikin. So maybe even if mazik hekdesh is pater because of la b'chal reyehu, maybe in this kind of circumstance, either he's considered to be b'chal reyehu because he's accepting the hoda, or even if he's la b'chal reyehu, there's a nezikin that could arise under a quasi kinyan relationship. Leah.
Did you
can... No, I mean, consistent. Yeah, it goes both ways, right? Because, like, when I ask you to do a service, that means, like, if you perform it under normal range of ways of performing it, and your pater, and if you do something egregious, then that creates liability where there may not have been. So, yeah, I think that would be consistent.
Yeah. Some marks of nesivos about the way you pay, but the few for omen is different. Like, also the nesivos of the basic sos about whether or not the gzela is relevant to ancient gadol, the shot of gzela is relevant. The nesivos of spawn for that is all those cases of omen specifically.
The case of omen. Yes, exactly.
Relationship.
So this is like a 100%. Right. It can't be arrived from the human case because there's almost like it comes under Kenyan.
Right. So they're
yeah. That was for like the lost profits.
Lost profits. Talking about the type of payment or what you're
due. Correct. It's been a very consistent theme throughout that maybe there's a difference between these quasi contractual relationships and standard Nezikin ones. Does everybody see Yoni's point? The only point is that, remember, the nesivos, the ksos, there's all this back and forth in the ksos and the nesivos of whether you are liable to compensate somebody for lost profits. like in the Zulshafat, like take this wine to sell in Zulshafat, etc. That Gemara in Bava Metzia and Tzadi Tes. And the Mesivas' argument was to distinguish between these, I hire you to perform a service and standard Mesivan cases. So exactly, this distinction is very much in line with that. Okay, that's my one hara from the Hektish Sugya. So now we pick up with the Nizke Atom. So the reason why these go together is because, at least on the face of it, both stem from the Xerxes Kasim of Yehu, and we'll see that's controversial. But at least thematically, they're all cases where exemption from Nezikin stems from the Gavra not being included in the world of Nezek liability. So if you take the earlier point that Hektish is Pater because Hektish lies outside the realm of social cooperation, then you might say something similar here. Maybe Avon lies, a non-Jew lies outside of that world. That's a little more controversial. Or you could phrase it more weakly and say that just like in Hektish, one suggestion was that Chiyuv Nezikin is more akin to Hashavas Aveda, and so it only arises under certain relationships. So to here, in the same way that there's no Chiyuv to return Aveda Sakon, so if you think that Nezikin is analogous to Hashavas Aveda, then you could draw a similar, you could extend that principle to this case as well. A regular aha.
Do you find that second Nezikin compelling?
I think it's a difficult explanation for Tashlam and Nezikin. It sounds like it's more fundamental than that.
Yeah.
Although they say Marshall will say something similar in this case.
What was the argument? Why did Hektish
say Hashem and Veda? Yeah, so one of the things that's Lav L'Chalori Ehu is that there are certain, you might call them, they're almost supererogatory obligations, where that you're going beyond your general duties in obligating somebody else.
How do you justify that by Nezikin? How is Nezikin
a... I think that's what Noah's pointing out. It seems to be a peculiar way of thinking about Tashlum and Nezikin. But if you think that the reason why your duty to compensate somebody is in the same way that you have a Chiyuv Hashavas Aveda to return their, like if they lose an item, you return it, they lose property, you have a Chiyuv to return it to them, even if you're the cause of their loss. If you think that's like a quasi-Hashavas Aveda principle, then you can explain why it wouldn't apply in some of these cases. That's why they only apply to Re'ehu, as opposed to just anybody. I think what's going for it is the idea that it's limited to Re'ehu. The problem that it raises is that it doesn't seem to capture the essence of compensating anybody for damages that you caused them. Right? But as a logical matter, I think we shouldn't rule it out. But clearly, there's a whole string of cases that are mufka from Nezikin because of the gavras, because of the persons who are involved. Right. So these are the best two examples, Achim and Hektish. We'll see a few more cases. What about women, especially married women, and Ketanim? They're also mufka in a certain way from the world of Nezikin. So we're going to talk about those other cases later. So in the Mishnah Daf Pesach Beis, the Mishnah says, Chasim Shehein Shel B'nei Bris, right next to Nechasim Shehein B'nei Hamiyiva. So they're next to each other in the Mishnah. And the next case is Nechasim Hamiyuchadim, Nechse Hefker, and Hefker is also a case of Nechasim that don't have Bailim. So there's some connection here between Nechasim that have no Bailim and Nechasim that just have maybe a different kind of Bailim. So the Akam and Hekish cases. Isaac.
Maybe just to justify that from the
Yeah.
I think one of the things we mentioned like really early in the year was that on an economic-based theory of Nezikin, it's harder to justify why something goes to the Nezak as opposed to,
right,
just, I don't know, to the garbage or to some communal fund.
Because it's a deterrent.
Right. Maybe it's like a cause of Veda in the sense that it goes to a specific party.
But he's not really entitled to it in the first place.
Right. So like, you have an obligation to like lose money based on your damages. Well, he has an obligation to...
I hear that. It's a good suggestion. The more you think that there's no moral basis for Tashlum and Nezikin, the more you can make sense of a fee of Tashlum as being supererogatory. Yeah, that's a good point. Possible. I think you should build up that perspective, see if it's like We'll see a few cases of the economic considerations actually in the coming sugyas. Like the best case made for them. So that would work out nicely for what you're saying. Okay, so Gemara Gimel Amud Bet is commenting on this Mishnah says, Chasim Shehein Shel B'nei Mirch L'Gutei Mai. So, Ilam Udei Dovi Kuchavim, Hakatani L'Kaman, Shor Shel Yishol Shnagach, Shor Shel B'Kuchavim Pater. Gemara says, we know this already from the Mishnah later on Lamed Zayin, so why do we need to say it again? Gemara says, Nechanami Tana B'Adam Mefarish. Like, yes, both Mishnayos are getting at the same principle.
What's that? Can you expand on that? What's that mean?
What?
That, like, you have two Mishnayos that are teaching the same idea.
Yeah, so here the Mishnah just has it compressed. Nechasim Shein Shel B'nei Bris. Are you only liable to be Mazik Nechasim of Yisrael? But what does that mean? So that's fleshed out in the Mishnah Lamed Zayin. Shor Shel Yisrael Shemagach Shor Shel Kanani Pater. Which is fleshing out this line in our Mishnah. And then it's fleshed out even further. Vishal Kanani Shinagach Lashar Shal Yisrael Bein Tan Bein Hu Mishalim Nezek Shalim. Right?
Right. I mean, so just the first, does the first din really teach us anything in our Mishnah?
Nechasim Shein Shel B'nei Bris?
Yeah.
Well, no.
For us, it's like in relation to the other categories.
Yeah. Maybe the context I was pointing out, showing that there's just there's a whole category of people who are mukta because they're not the right kind of owners.
So would you say that when the Gemara says Adam Farish, that's, in other words, the Stumbling Gemara is saying, like, this was taught for categorical purposes in our Mishnah, but the thing is going to
further expand on that. Yeah, that's, I think that's how Ali would explain it, right? That's a nice suggestion. Now, when you look at the Mishnah Lamed Zayin, so we have a real problem, right? So the Akum Yisrael Nezek relationship is asymmetrical. Yisrael, who's Mazik and Akum, is Pater Legamri. But an Akum who's Mazik Yisrael is Chayav Nezek Shalim. Right, so even for a short time case, he's paying full amount. So the Gemara on Lamed Ches is worried about this, and the Gemara said, Yimam Shach, Ireyehu Davka, if there's only liability for Shor Reyehu, then Dekinani Kinagach the Yisrael Nami Liftar. So notice here that the Gemara assumes that Reyehu is a symmetrical term. Right, so it's almost as if the Gemara is saying, if I'm not Isaac's friend, then Isaac can't be my friend, as opposed to allowing for asymmetrical reyehus, right? Maybe every Kanani is a Reya of Yisrael, but not vice versa. So the Gemara doesn't allow that, right? If Reyehu is Dafka, then it's got to cut both ways. That's just the assumption of the, which I think makes sense if you think it's about social cooperation, which is generally it's generally symmetrical, right? That's what cooperation means. And if Reyehu doesn't apply to the non-Jew, then the Jew should be chayev when he's mazik the Kanani. So how does the Gemara explain the asymmetrical din? So what's the pashtus of the Gemara? Anybody remember? What's that? Sounder?
Yeah, really. Well, I thought there were going to put a knas on the goy.
Okay, so you read the pashtus of the Gemara with a knas? So I read the pashtus in the Gemara saying that
God just determined that there's an imbalance.
Not just that there's an imbalance, but it's in Rebbe's two psukim, right? So one is Rabbi Avohu, and one is brought from Rabbi Avohu, one is brought from Rabbi Yochanan. Either it's this idea that Hashem. Oh, what do you mean by knas? Do you mean a knas for not keeping the mitzvahs? So in the Gemara, it sounds Rosh had a mitzvah shekibo leim enoch kibushul kibo amai bechitir mamon and leisrael.
Knas a kodesh baruch hu. Like there's some knas from Torah or
yeah, but I don't even think this is a knas.
It's just
a knas. Yeah, I don't even think it's a knas. It's just like what? Right, meaning it sounds like he like deprived the Ramon Shalom deprives the Akum of their property rights. Mm-hmm. Right, that's Amma Behitir Behitir Mamona. Same Miparan Hafiya Mamonam the Yisrael. At Paran they were like their property was given over to Kla Yisrael. But I think this not just a knas, it sounds like a substantive principle. That when they either according to some Mepharshim when they refused to accept the Torah, or when Klal Yisrael got the Torah at Har Sinai, So there was some substantive change made to the property rights of non-Jews, and they were made, and their property was made hefker vis-a-vis Yisrael. This becomes clear in Tosos when Tosos says, how do you make sense of this Gemara? This Gemara explains very nicely why Mazik Achim is Potter. It's more difficult to explain the view later on in Bava Kamma that Gezel Achim is Usser. And why should Gezel Achim be Usser if it's always the case that Gittir Mamon and Yisrael? So Tosos points out that there's some problem there. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, you know, has a nice story about the Shelfa Malthus Romi Shnei Sardiotos Ezochach Meisrael. So the Romans like reviewed the Torah and they said, "Nikdaknu b'chol Toraschem be'emes u'chutz b'davar zeh." Right? They said everything in Torah is good except for this asymmetric principle. Shor Shlegi Yisrael Shnagach Lekanani Pater, but Kanani Shnagach Shor Shlegi Yisrael is Chayav Nezek Shalgam. And they have this kasha about the asymmetry of Re'eu. So the reason seems to be, according to, so what's the answer to that problem? Why is there the asymmetry? So the Pashas of the Gemara seems to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Matir Mamon on the Israel. Just the Klai Yisrael didn't tell this to the Romans because they thought it'd be bad to tell them the secret that their Mamon is Becheskas Hefker Klai Yisrael. Finally, they would open up the certain side on it. So it's clear from Rashi that the reason why Yisrael Shehizik La'achim is Pato Lagamri is because their mamon is Hefker Yisrael Yisrael. Marshall makes this point explicitly, citing, he thinks this is also Tosis' view. L'chora mashma l'tamuda chazar mikra d'riyehu. This is the Amshel Shlomo. V'asio l'mute hektish. So Re'eu only applies to Ptur Hekdesh, doesn't apply to the non-Jewish case at all. Mishum high time apart their shor shel Yisrael k'shem hagav shel goyim. Mishum be their goyim. Is it vayater goyim? Let me look at the pasuk inside. Vayater goyim, right? So the idea is that they're not pasmar hefker. That's why shor shel Yisrael k'shem hagav la'achim is pater. That kind of ruins Ellie's reading of the Mishnah on Daf Tes. Because there no longer is this connection to the Hektish case. Unless you think that, maybe like a shot, that Hektish doesn't have to cost him either. But the point is that the principle here is Shor Shel Yisrael Shnagach Achim is Pater because they're Nechasim Bar Hefker. And Tosfos seems to be saying this implicitly when he asks this question, what do you do with Gezel Kanani Yasser? If their mamon is Hefker Lagami, then Gezel Achim should be Pater.
Should be like a verse.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
We're interested in the question of the exact opposite thing.
Yeah.
That if it's all about their money being half for entirely, so that seems to jive very well with them. That the idea of not being a mother. If that's what the sheet that gets a copy of the opposite, then what's the problem?
Yeah.
So his whole position is he's minimizing his status. So.
Correct. Tosos asks the question, he says, well, it sounds like this is a special heter with respect to Nezikin.
Right, but if the explanation is for the whole heter is because, like, Baruch Hu was mafia the moment entirely, then that doesn't seem like it's a limitation altogether. You know,
yeah.
The expansion to everything, right? Like.
That's a good point. It doesn't change the analysis here. The point then is just Tosfos is saying that what's underlying the principle here is that he's mafkir their mamon, but he's only mafkir with respect to Nezikin cases, not with respect to all cases of Gezel. Right? But the fact that Tosfos makes this connection shows that he thinks it's just a general principle about which of their nechasim are hefker klapei Yisrael.
Why can't you even say it's just a knas? You moved into a source?
I think it's a knas.
Perhaps. I mean, he doesn't say it explicitly at all, but.
Yeah, we're going to talk about knas.
Yeah, wouldn't they fit a lot better with him, I guess? What proof in the Gemara? Like, he has this contrast.
Yeah.
It went more of a stretch.
You could say that Zela is always more egregious. And so even if they're mamon's hefka, there's still something wrong with taking it, so long as under somebody else's rishus.
or maybe they have property rights with respect to Xela, but not with respect to Mohegan. That would be a possibility.
So we'll say that the assumption of Murray is that they clearly have property rights, and that we needed some special exercise of custom to get rid of the property rights with respect to something.
But the exercise of custom is not limited to Mohegan per se, right?
Well, it is.
The context is, but there's nothing about the exercise cost that implies that it's limited to Mohegan.
No, it also has to be limited, but otherwise, what's the question? The whole question that this clearly works well is the sheep because like, there's not any option. In which case, it's, like, their preference specifically seems to indicate it's limited to Africa to Mohegan.
No, I get that. I get that Tosos thinks it's limited to Mohegan.
But then Tosos can't be reading that the answer is based on, like, that the money's after entirely. In which case, this question doesn't make any sense. Or it's not, there's no reason to have to ask.
Sounds like Tosus thinks that this Ramana Dhamma and Buddha had somehow antecedent to this Xerasakasa, right? Wouldn't you have just thought that this Xerasakasa is part of what makes their mama, but part of what makes Gezalaka Mutter?
Right, exactly. In which case, it's kind of like he said, he believes.
But Tosus thinks that this is somehow like prior to the Xerasakasa. Right, if you hold that Gezalaka Mutter,
what's the need for it?
Right. I'm not sure how to.
The only therefore imply that those would have a different sense of what exactly.
Yeah, it could be. If that's the case, then don't take Tosos as his Baal Shiva. Just take it as a simple reading of the Gemara then. With the Marshal's point, it's no longer the Ptur is no longer grounded in Re'eyu. The Ptur is grounded in Amma Vayaser Goyim.
I think the Marshal has like the reverse gear than Tosafot. I think that's part of his argument.
Tosafot's
questioning Dafka exactly around. That is, he's Dafka asking on.
Manar Paragvas or Gazel Vay Aser. No, he doesn't
have. No. He flips around the first part of Tosafot, which is the.
Yeah, around the Shalana.
Yeah.
I think it's according to Tosafot here, where it makes it sound like the Chiddush is. The fact that you're potter from paying, which Landamar Gezalaku is mutter, would be a problem, because then what's the chiddush here? Then according to the Marshal, no, it's potter that you're potter from paying, because we know Gezalaku is mutter. Kashi and Tosu, it is.
That this din only makes sense against the background that Gezalaku is also.
No, I think according to the Marshal, the chiddush in Avraham Gemara is not that you're potter, is that the Akum is chayiv. Because he flips around the beginning of Tosu. He says, right, that makes sense when Shinagach Shor Shalahem and Shor Shalanu.
I'm not sure that Tosus is a good exemplar of this position, as Yoni's pointing out. But even if he's not, I still think the pastus of the principle of the Gemara Amad Mehidim Ramonam suggests that it has to do with their general property rights, not a din miyufad and milchus mezikin. So we can just take that then, if you don't think Tosus captures the principle the right way. So the second way of understanding the asymmetry in the Ptur of Shor Shalishalash Nagach and Shor Shalakam is put forward by the Rebbe Neil, the Shinuk of Atzes. And here he says very nicely that really Meikar Adin, Shor Shalishral Shanagach. Sorry, Shor Shalakam Shanagach Shor Shal Yisrael should be Pater. So in the same way that it's Pater when we're Mazik them, they should be Pater when they're Mazik us. Why are they Chayiv? V'knas hu dekansu chachamim v'mamona v'shalim hakol v'shem dechashidi lahasid behemtam shal Yisrael v'mamona v'chidei shelo yu regilin v'kach konsum. Masha ain liknos kain be Yisrael. Why? She kain derech kol ben bris lishmar behemto shlo yazik chaviro. Ukishamazik al karko osero. So what's the Rebbe Lemuel's explanation for the asymmetry? Why is Shor Shalakam Shandagar Shor Shalay Shalach Chayev? Yeah, Knas. What kind of Knas? No?
You mean like it's meant to motivate them to not damage trees?
It's a deterrent.
Yeah.
Right? So he thinks, look, this is well. So I'm not sure if all knossos are deterrents. I don't know if a fine is the same thing as a deterrent. So it's not punitive.
So you're not the deterrent.
Well, sometimes it can be punitive. I don't know if everything that's punitive is merely as a deterrent. So he's saying, look, it's a deterrent. A Shorshal Yisrael or a Yisrael doesn't need the deterrent because clearly every Yisrael is makbid to exercise great caution over their property. They have sensibilities about other people's rights.
But they're chayav ketzin ezek.
What?
They're chayav ketzin ezek tam.
Yeah, that's how they make sense of that, right? How does Ibn Yom make sense of that? Right? So they need less of a deterrent or a weaker deterrent. But the Akum, who needs a deterrent specifically with respect to Behemlin Shal Yisrael Mahona. Right, maybe the Akum doesn't need the deterrent with respect to each other. So we add the extra deterrent that they pay Nezek Shalim even for a short time. Now, how does he get that from the Gemara? Let me just make this last point. He gets that from the Gemara because he reads that into Ra'a Shach Zarin Belev Rala and Chashudim Ashim Matu Mishav Mitzvos. So our Gemara said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw they don't keep the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and then he was not here Ramona. So the Rebbe Leviel takes that phrase as with respect to their failure to keep the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach as the justification for this Kol Shekein that they don't care about Achayim, I take it to mean the Jewish people's property, and therefore there is this knas that's imposed upon them. That's how he reads it into the Shach Lepari of the Gemara. But his reason for Shorsh Akam Shenazak Shehizik Shol Yisrael, the reason for the Chiyuv is to deter them because they don't care about the Yisrael's property.
Maybe a slightly more generous like sorrow for the Rebbe Leviel isn't just like this inherent difference between Jews and non-Jews, but Jews already have the halacha of the Mizikim. And ensure they need shear and need to protect other animals, so there's no need for them to deter it. The time they also can't manage non-Jewish animals. Like I think you need to read a lot of his lashon. So the inuch of Yisrael, she came derech chol ben bris l'shmor behemter shlo yaz l'chaveira.
Yeah.
There's already dina nizikin, so it's already in shmirah. It's not like he's going to teach his animal only for non-Jewish animals. He's doing shmirah. But non-Jews aren't talking about halacha, so they might have, they presumptively have no system preventing them from damaging other animals, so we need to impose a knas on them.
Yeah,
just your
rule
we
have
to
put
them
first.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying. Magadishna writes in the Tzimah of the Gemara, they didn't have, there was no system that was Tashlumin, there was no way to do Tashlumin, and so that's why they're puzzling.
It's not like human, it's not like making a statement about Jews versus non-Jews as much as, from the perspective of Allah, Allah governs Jews, it doesn't govern non-Jews. So if we're going to do something non-Jews, we have to create a class.
You're saying the difference between Jews and non-Jews, just the difference between Jewish law and non-Jewish law.
Yes.
Jewish law only inherently
applies. Yeah, non-Jewish, whereas Jewish law is good, non-Jewish law is barbaric.
No, not even close. It's just that Jewish law only takes into consideration Jewish law. It doesn't take into consideration non-Jewish law. Jewish law already has the levels of the deacon.
Really,
Jews.
Really assuming that the non-Jews would have damaged the Jews all the time.
Right.
If there was no
even inherent. Just fiasco, right?
That's true, yeah.
And totally
all
of the Israel. They hate the Jews, and like they're disrespectful of Jewish property, and so the Torah imposes a knas that you could pay Nezek Shalim right away. But it's clearly it's not a moral liability; it's clearly an economic liability, to create the right deterrent. Right? That's.
Right.
So I think that this is very good for what Isaac's point of building up the consideration of economic deterrence as a basis for at least certain kinds of liabilities. It's a very, very clear formulation of the Remillennial.
Yeah, well, not from the Remillennial, but relatedly, the Zuz Eliezer and Helpless Medina has its own discussion about how halacha relates to non-Jews. That could also be very relevant.
100%. Yeah, I mean, certain, they're more economic principles. That
exactly, does a lot of students governing non-Jews with its social laws.
Yeah, Donnie, you had a comment?
Oh, it had to do with that. You got it.
We got it? Leon covered it? And his, Salter, you had a comment also?
I was going to say the Asuruto and Tolkien.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that this is closely related, clearly, to Gemara Test above about Lamanda Amar Halva Nizko Knasa, the Gemara characterizes that class kihechid lanatre l'ture as a deterrent exercise greater shmira. So we know that this is one form of liability in Zika, at least in a short time case, and the Rebbe is exporting that idea to the Shor Shel Akam Shehizik Shor Shel Yisroel. So it's like a nice, just again, the foundations of this economic view, this deterrent view of liability.
Does the Rebbe explain why Jews are kind before?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they already exercise Shmira.
No, so David, they already exercise Shmira among the Jews. Why not? Why bother them with non-Jews?
Because they're not the Klal Re'ehu.
So they're not the Klal Re'ehu, only extends to some that doesn't extend to the term aspect of the non-Jews?
Correct. Yeah. Right, that's why it's so nice. Right? Re'ehu is clearly a moral principle, whether I'm liable towards you for causing you harm. The answer is, I'm not liable to the non-Jew is not liable to me. But, even though there's a patur from moral liability, there's still separate economic liabilities that we can impose to create the right kinds of deterrence.
So, effectively, really would argue that even Polygons and Knossos itself not really the deterrence among Jews was actually about moral liability.
I'm not sure what you told them about our Palganitska Knasa.
Otherwise, it seems to be a problem. Like, why? If it's about the term, so that one should be a difference. The term should exist whether we aid or not aid.
Right. As you were asking before.
Yeah.
Meaning, how do you make sense of the Palganitska Knasa with respect to aid or liabilities?
Yeah.
Right? I think the easy answer is to say, well, that's even that deterrence is like a quasi moral deterrent. Which blurs the boundaries a little bit. Yeah,
right,
like
that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Isaac, you have a comment or somebody had their hand up? Okay. So Niyudi has a similar phrase, similar to the Rima Lemiel. Shor Shel Yisroel Sunagach Shor Shel Nachri Pater Midin Re'edu. So you see, he's explicit. The basis of the Petur is Re'edu. Mishal Nachri Sunagach Shor Yisroel Bein Tam Bein Mu Ad Mishalim Ezek Shalim. Like the regular meal, mitosha ein chasim al mamon zulasam. And here it's not so clear if it's daf or mamon Yisrael or just mamon of other people. Konsen osam shelo yargilu atman lahazik. So I think it's here. It's less about that they don't care about mamon Yisrael. Right? Is basically that diuk?
Well, you can make the same view with the Achzari, that it's Achzari in the sense that they have this like this bad economic system where no one's careful about it, and everyone else's property.
But I think earlier we talked about, Yishim b'chashid l'hasid b'hemtan shal Yisrael l'mamona. In the Rimul Neil, the emphasis is on the Bein Yisrael l'amim relations, and in the Meiri it just seems about respect for other people's, other person's property. But he agrees that it's Shalei Yargi L'Atzam L'Hazik. And then here, this is, I think, relates to Liat's point. This is a very famous tradition of the Meiri everywhere. V'lfi ma'asha nomar b'gemara, dafka ba'amim she'enam gedurim b'darkei dasot v'ni'usim. Because the deterrent is only here to deter people who are ein chasen amamim z'lasam, and insofar as the non-Jewish societies go to b'darkei dasot v'ni'usim, so they do exercise that kind of care about other people's property, and the knas wouldn't apply. That's what Miri is. That's what Miri here says explicitly.
What the Miri say? Not
well,
they wouldn't be chayav.
Yeah. So an akam that's got their bedarkei adasos, who doesn't need the deterrent in order to respect other people's property, right? Would be pater if his short actually is mazik.
It's just warfare. No chayav for.
Well.
No chayav for damages between Jews and non-Jews.
Because of re'eh, there's a tour of re'eh.
Yeah.
Right, so the tour of re'eh that cuts both ways. If the amim are not going to be a b'dach so that they need a deterrent, that will be chasam amim zulasam, that we're going to defend their class. But if the class is not necessary, as the Meiri's pointing out, then the paturim would cut both ways.
So it's not really, if you live among non-Jews, it's not practical, there's no actual liability. Like, let's say you live in a mostly non-Jewish area, so if your shore runs out, it probably won't be tied to the dam or something.
You're talking about in
in an amen like a jirim bedake adasos.
Or any sort of damage like this. Or you're sticking to that one case? Or?
So it's not one case. It's that if you live in a society where people do respect other people's property rights, then there's no need for the knas.
Oh, sorry.
It's other.
In a society where the amen after jirim bedake adasos, so he imposed this knas even if it was a nezek between a non-Jew and another non-Jew?
I mean, if it's not, it seems like yes, right? Given that this phrase here is all about whether a chasan amon is zulasim. So I think it would apply even between akum and lakum. I think that's where the meiri is different from the rimul neil. Does everybody see that? Yeah? Liad and Yaros?
No, I agree.
Yeah, Yoni?
Is it really a society that respects other people's property rights if they don't pay when they did or something?
Well, they would pay in certain cases, meaning...
Well,
not
there's no knas if you did someone who's not your raya.
Right.
But that's not respect of property.
No, it means that generally you exercise caution when you walk your dog, when you drive your car. You don't treat other people's property as hefker. That's what determines whether you have like the proper respect for other people's property. Yes.
Could you distinguish between a society that cares about property, but the other, like let's say six mitzvot are like morally reprehensible?
With respect to the salacha?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. Meaning it's like it's not all or nothing. You might say that if I could do a daka dust and muslim is relative to each case, right?
In this show, that's something you know, that's in making me like good.
Of
course, yeah. Is that what this is in, or
he doesn't say that?
Yeah, because that's I wasn't sure if it was connected.
He only refers to Shem Mitzvah Meinoa for the same reason that Rima Lemiel does.
Yeah,
because that's how you get it out of our Gemara.
Yeah,
right. Are they keeping the Shem Mitzvah as a sign of whether they're doing B'dakei Adasa and Rima
Lemiel? Wasn't it like a statement that like non-Jews do not teach Shem Mitzvah Meinoa, so therefore we give them this?
That's the simple reading of the Gemara.
So how does the reading come about and say, like, but they do use some sort of, like, legal system that's totally, like, against what the Gemara is describing?
Yeah, the Gemara says, the Gemara makes it sound like this one-time historical event that if Hashem gives them a chance, they don't give the Shabbat mitzvahs, so he's not here them alone. And both the Rima and the Meiri read that and say, but you see that if they are keeping the Shabbat mitzvahs, then there's no right, then the moment is not that fair. And then the Meiri, they both make this, and then he says, "Insar Shlomar she came with one second Jewish B'dakei Adasa and Muslim," right? Because they're keeping the Shabbat mitzvahs, and like in addition, they're have like a civilization. Then of course, there's no basis for this command. It's a chiddush in how they read the Gemara for sure.
The Meiri doesn't say they keep the Shabbat mitzvahs, but he does.
He says, "Vakol she Shabbat mitzvah miyanda dina maslein dina maslan," right? "Miyanda insar Shlomar she came with one second Jewish B'dakei Adasa and Muslim." Okay.
So you think if there's no, what if there's no Shabbat mitzvah, that they are?
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting question.
Yes, ma'am.
He thinks almost, instead of Lomar sounds, it's not clear if he thinks that almost Hagaduros B'dakei Adasa is a subset of keeping Shabbat mitzvahs, or it's like either or, right? So it's disjunctive. If they keep the Shabbat mitzvahs, the Gemara is willing to say, I mean, they believe in a monotheistic God and they like keep these basic mitzvahs, then there's no knas, and kosher can't be called a chomer if they have a system of darkei dasos when he moves it. Maybe even if it's not consistent with shabbat mitzvah. That's a good question. I don't know, your thoughts on I guess you have to look at Meiri and figure out exactly what he means by umos hakaduros b'darkei dasos, if that's possible without keeping a shabbat mitzvah by knowing.
Just to clarify,
yeah, I'm getting a Meiri scholar.
This, when he's setting up his requirement, they have some system of law.
What?
But he's requiring that they have some system of law.
He's requiring that they're moved there as umos hakaduros b'darkei dasos v'ni musin.
But it doesn't have to be law, right?
Right.
Can't that just be a social like norm?
Right. What if they're all just like very well mannered?
Right. But at the very least, law would be sufficient.
Yeah. It sounds like it. Right.
Well, what?
Like a secular society.
What nations was a key thing we were encountered that didn't have a system of law? I think Mara was dealing with this.
Like, it's very,
like, very intuitive view, like, halachically, but, like, Like, does that ever exist? Where, like, there was like, people like wandering around with no
like,
rules guarding them?
Barbarians in Northern Europe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
No, it's not a system of tashlumen. At least that's it. It seems like that's what he's talking about.
Yeah,
you have a system of law, but not have like laws that govern tashlumen.
Connie, next time you go down to the Princeton Library, do some research for us on.
It could also be that like, they weren't locked there. Like maybe even if they had laws, like that's also another thing you could ask. What if a country has laws?
Yes, nobody respects them.
No one respects them.
Right.
Miri would probably say that they would be tied.
Yeah, they would be tied. Yeah. Correct.
So all these things are the rapists from Central America.
Yeah.
No, but doesn't the Miri's when we're saying clearly there wasn't one in certain people didn't do laws, that was when they rejected the Shemitism. No,
right.
It wasn't one. So today they need some sort of law, even if it doesn't reflect perhaps what the show
is.
It's still sort of a system of law.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what Seltzer was asking.
Yeah, that's what I think.
That depends on whether almost like just Dr. Justice is a subset of Sheva Mitzvos or whether it's separate from Sheva Mitzvos. But
yeah.
Depends how you're using it for a formula. Alright, that's the second view. That is this knas to deter them from either being mazik mamun of anybody else or mamun yisrael dafka. That's the new meal position. And again, of course, the myriads, even mamun zuwasam. The third view about why mazik shor shel achim shehitzik mamun shel yisrael is pater emerges out of the Rambam in his kimamun ches hei. Rambam here writes, shor shel yisrael shel nagach shor shel nachri bein ham bein guad pater. Lefi she'ein hagoyim mechayven as adam al behem tzav she'izika. So the Rambam has like an explanation for the Ptur and an explanation for the Chiyuv. So his explanation for the Chiyuv Achlam is like the Knas. I think it's similar to the Miri's formulation, because it's all about incentivizing Shmira and about Hesed Mamunat Rios, not Dafka Mamun Shal Yisrael. But since the Rambam has a reason also for the Ptur, notice that Miri explicitly said the reason for the Ptur is Lav Re'ehu. That's why Yisrael Shehizik Akam is Pater. The Rambam has a different explanation. That you could always leverage the Dine Akum as a kulak. So if in a non-Jewish system they would hold somebody pater for this kind of nezek, we don't have to be more machmir just because the plaintiff happens to be Yisrael. So the underlying
room.
Well,
is there a society that doesn't hold people chayav for this tamamun?
So the rabbi gets upset about this, and he says, "Amar Rama, time is a time to maspeka. Shari ain tovsin guf hamazik from yimenu." So apparently, there's this historical machlokas about whether what were the non-Jews doing? I guess either at this time or the time of Gemara. The Rambam seems to think they held that all this kimamun is pater, right? That's what Rambam seems to be suggesting.
Yeah.
The Rambam is saying that's not true. They hold that you're liable, you could be tovei zguf hamazik as tashlumin for nizkei mamun.
That's what the
right. So if your car crashed into my car, I could take your car or something.
That's what Mikael Lowe said that at the time of the Rambam, they lived in the barbarian Spaniards.
Yeah, right.
It's not a code that the mazik has to pay, it's the animal has to pay for it. It's the animal has to pay for it.
Something like that, right. Maybe the Rambam agrees to the right, but it thinks that doesn't rise to the level of like real tashlumin.
Yeah, so something like that.
It's also possible. The Magen Mishnah tries to defend the Rambam, and he says, first of all, the Rambam is no sinas tam midaito. He says the Rambam idea that we just defer to their system of laws. Rambam made up. But then he just defends Rambam from the right. He says, actually, Shabbos Man, like, Mar, Lo, Yu, Akum, Nefroy, and Klav.
you know, say maybe the Rambam was historically right about there was no touch limit for Niskevam one in those days. Ach, bisman hazeh, ashar shein kol ach nifra miguf hamazik. Defer to the non-Jewish, if it's between a Yisrael and a Nakam, we defer to the non-Jewish law of Kula. So it just depends wherever that law is. Right? Rambam says this is more explicitly in Kershon Mishnayis. Baba Kama Dal. Gimel Nira Din Yisrael of Magoy, where you open a Mishpat Beinehem, Kamosha Varlocha. Im Hayalanu Bidinehem, Chus. Dunanu Lahem Bidinehem. Viamarnu Lahem Kafa Dinehem. You can always justify it by saying, look, these are your laws, so we're just going to follow your laws. Because you always have, the Yisrael always has Yadu HaLavyona to decide whether he wants to adjudicate Kefi Dine Yisrael to his advantage or Kefi Dine Afa according to his advantage. And I was Zal Yiksha Be'inetha Dabarzet, so you know that Leah has to be upset about this.
Wow.
Where's the justice?
No justice, no peace.
V'yal zitama alav, k'mosha lo zitama al shchitas bali chayim, afal bishlo asu shumra. Same way, you shouldn't get upset about shchita when the animal committed no wrong. V'fisha mishlo nishalmu bo hatunos v'anushios, eino adam be'emes, v'ein tachlisa el adam. V'adibra al inyan zeh, tarav sefer miyuchat. So it sounds like Rambam wants to say that, yeah, just some people are here to serve other people in the same way that the animals are here to serve the people who want to eat meat. Right? And it has this idea that lo nisham bo atfunos ha'anushios, eno adam. If you don't achieve human perfection, then you're not a person. At least you're not entitled to eno adam be'emes. You're not entitled to all the privileges, rights, and immunities of being a person. And that's why you're not entitled to be defended by the system of Nazikin. That's Rambam's point here.
Comparable to animals and can be shepherded.
What?
Comparable to animals and can be shepherded.
He's using it as an analogy that an animal which doesn't have a rational mind is here to serve, and it's very Aristotelian, right?
Yeah.
It's here to serve the purpose of people with rational mind. And he's saying, same thing for nations who haven't achieved rational intellectual perfection, are here to serve people who have achieved rational intellectual perfection, and that's why it's perfectly okay to have a system that's prejudiced towards people who are nishlamu b'hem atchunos ha'anushios.
Right. Which that statement's about nations, it's not about individuals.
Yeah, so you might think this is where like a Migri-esque position comes in if you think that like there are individuals who have achieved this. Or even if there are individuals who haven't achieved it, then that would determine whether or not they're protected by the system of Nazikin. I don't know, what do you make of the Rambam? It's kind of a... Why should this bear on the system of Nazikin? Right? Why should... Like, I could see if he's, like, you know, he's talking about there's one, like, philosophy book left and, like, you have to decide, like, who to give it to. So give it to, like, people who have achieved intellectual perfection. But why should this criterion determine whether you're protected by, like, the laws of Adam HaChovel and this came up?
It makes another seem, like, very religious and not necessarily strictly societal type of considerations.
Yeah. Or that the whole society is there to facilitate this kind of religious or intellectual apprehension of God, right?
If anything, for the Rambam, it's more surprising that Gemara even asks the question.
It's so obvious.
Yeah, isn't this obvious? He's like, of course.
Right.
Like, we don't have a question of, like, you know, why is murder, like, I don't know, like, an issue of Mehila if you take stuff from a church. Like, yeah, like, obviously, non-Jews aren't considered for this stuff.
Right.
Why do we ever think about it? Our ritual law has nothing to do with non-Jews.
Yeah. But I guess you wouldn't say our ritual law, you'd say even our social laws are...
Yeah, but the point is the social law is almost like a ritual law because it's part of the greater point of achieving intellectual perfection. There is no real substantive difference here.
Yeah. It's like the Nazikin is here for...
The same way Rung thinks like when you shake a lula, you get closer to intellectual perfection of understanding
God. Yeah. So the same thing, the rules of Nazikin are here to facilitate like the right kind of environment in which you could achieve that kind of perfection.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the substantive point to take away from the Rambam is that whatever his justification is, as he tells us in Parashat Mishnayos, the reason for the discrepancy is in a din between Yisrael and Avram, you could always follow Dinehem le'kulam. Now the Magen Mishnah said the Rambam made it up. There is some support for the Rambam in Yerushalmi and Bava Kama Dal Gimel. Yerushalmi quotes a two psukim that the Bavli has. Ruah v'yadar goyim. And Ophiya mehar par and Ophiya pan k'neged Avram. Rabbi Avo b'shem Rabbi Yochanan amar k'dinehem. That in a din between Yisrael and Avram, you follow their dinim. But notice the Rambam changes it. But it might be connected to the Hemshen of the Yerushalmi. The Rambam holds that we only follow dinim, the kula, not the chumra. And so you have a choice between dinim Yisrael and dinim Avram, in whichever way is to be favorable to the Yisrael.
Why does he need this kenas reason?
The Rambam?
Yeah.
As to explain why Avram should say Yisrael is chayav.
Right, but why does he need that? Once he said that, you can go put whatever din you want any time, so then never mind. It's like, oh, with our din, we'll be held people responsible.
All right, and why don't you just use this same svara,
yeah,
like, we'll get a little extra income from it.
Or just, I mean, I don't know if you get extra from it, but you don't need this extra reason of not the concept of calling.
Yeah.
You
had
an
answer
to
that? Right?
No.
Maybe things like kula and chumra only work with respect to the Nitva, not with respect to Tovea. So the idea that when you're suing me, I have a right to decide which system to appeal to. So then I could decide the Kula from a based off, but not if I'm the Tovea. You have to say something like that, I think.
It doesn't sound intuitive, but...
It also, you're right, the Rambam and Parashat Mishnayos, the Rambam doesn't distinguish between the cases. Right?
Yeah.
The Parashat Mishnayos seems to be tension with Yad Chazakah. Right? The Parashat Mishnayos sounds like this one principle could explain both Avram Shehizik Yisrael and Yisrael Shehizik Avram, whereas the Mishnah Torah, it sounds like it has two separate principles. But yeah.
It seems like there could, or maybe even should be, two very separate questions in this, I guess, especially from the Rambam and Yerushalmi. Like, it seems like the question of when a Jew takes a non-Jew to Beis Din, what should the din be? Could be different from the question of what is the din if a non-Jew takes you to non-Jewish court.
Yeah.
Like, it's like all Rambam could be saying is like if a non-Jew takes you to court, you might have thought, fine, this non-Jewish court's lenient on me, but I know to be Yosei Machia, I still have to pay Chatzi Nezek. So
no,
it's fine.
Right.
But if like you take a non-Jew to court, that doesn't mean necessarily you'd be solely on the din of the non-Jewish court.
Right. So then maybe this whole phrase about Christian Mishnayos is a little bit like Barco saying.
Exactly.
Like, don't think that you have this moral obligation. It's like, no,
but
yeah, their laws are
good. Like, the idea of the Jewish courts and the best thing taking into consideration non-Jewish law, that's like very
right.
Different.
Right. Yeah, so I like that. That's a nice suggestion there. That basically will be outside.
When he brings in the Jewish court, what happens then?
So
I'm not saying it's sense, I just think that's more of a question.
No,
maybe
like Rao seems to be talking about a case where he brings in the Jewish courts.
Well, I assume that. He just talks about cases of the Jews not Jewish law. And he says that you can use the kulas of the non-Jewish system.
But he does say every anu done in lahem kidi nehem.
Yeah. That is true.
Which implies that
you're the one that's
right. Okay, that's true.
They're showing up in our courts.
Okay, then I guess at least theoretically we think that it's actually
right.
You can see if it really does.
Yeah. Yoni.
So I point out that the side you show me, they're winning Gemara on Kufri Gimel, the last part.
Yeah, that's the Zela Saka.
Yeah, well, in that context, though, we weren't asked about, we saw if Rami Shabbat did. They're saying we might be able to hold the care of the Israel and the Kibra, and they're not going to be able to do the Kibra, and they're not going to
be able to do the working off that.
And Alan Hoskins, like, makes that case and said that if, like, it comes in, so that's what you should do.
Yeah, that's a good, like, paradigm of what he's Hoskining over
right.
Here.
Right, something there, and then just stop.
Right. Yeah. She's saying, I need more info for you,
yeah.
And that's what Yishan Meir is saying also, right? Kidi
Nehem.
Yeah. Yeah. Donnie.
Is that... I'm a little confused. confused with the Tibinei and Rabbi Yochanan saying the Mishnah is saying that. That's what Tibinei is, right?
Right. That's the reason.
Yeah, so meaning, but if it's, what if their dinim are different? What if the, like, and...
Right, so as Isaac was saying, that this just happened to have been what Dinaham was.
Yeah,
maybe at the time.
But I'm saying, according to, like, the Rambam, we're trying to
do
a Kula. Here we could do a Chumrah.
Right.
Right?
Suppose they charge Kefel for Miskei.
Yeah. So, like, when, according to the Yochanan, at least.
Sounds like there's, in Yerushalmi's, a basis for saying they are back to pay Kefel.
Yeah.
The Rambam is capping it at, you know, the better of Dinei Yisrael against
Dinei Yisrael. Because it's weird, because if it's completely to Dinei, then why would they ever be Chayim? It's not answering the question. Because Kidinei must mean, according to what the Mishnah is saying, is that they're not Machbid on Nezikin, right?
Right.
So then how would... Every other answer was saying why the Akum would be chayv to pay you.
Right.
Here, that wouldn't work.
No, every other answer was saying why the Yisrael is potter.
Oh, okay. So
by Yantar Goyim, they have no liability.
Okay.
They have no property rights.
I thought we were saying that type. Okay. Yeah.
Right, and Islam is saying, oh, same thing, Kidney Nay, and that their halachos here, potter's
potter.
No.
Do you think there's any connection between this statement of Rabbi Yochanan and Yerushalmi and our statement of Rabbi Yochanan and Bavli? It's the same sugya, but it seems like they're totally...
Could you remember Soros and Rabbi Yochanan?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. It just seems to look very different.
Yeah. Is there a way to reconcile them?
Yeah. It seems odd that
Rabbi Yochanan is saying Ophiam and Harpara.
Yeah.
Is there a way to reconcile Ophiam and one on the Yisrael? I guess... Meaning... If you think, like Rashi says, lo kidlua, they didn't accept the Torah system of laws, they accepted some other system of law which holds that this came up as pater.
So they're going to get messed up.
Right. So what the Bali's getting at is that we're not going to hold them to the system of the Torah's system of liability because they don't accept it. So what system of liability do you accept for them? Can you name whatever system they did accept? Maybe that's a way of reconciling the Bali. I don't think we gain much, but for the consistency of the Talmudim. That would be something. Okay, one last Ara. So we have three explanations for this tour. So one of them is Rav Yatar Goyim, that Hashem was Smachim Ramonim. The second is Knas, to incentivize greater Shmira, either Klapei Mamon Yisrael or Klapei anybody's property. The Nachmanina with the Miri about Amman Durim Darkei Das. And in Ram Shita, that in a case between Yisrael and Amin, you could follow Dinehem Likula. That was the Rambam's position. One final Ara on the Sugya. So some of that point of Sukkah about whether this whole exemption of Akum is limited to Shor Shehizik. Because the Xeris Akasim of Re'ehu only appears in the case of Shor. Right, the Shor Re'ehu. Does it also apply to Adam Hamasik? And maybe questionably whether it applies to Shane Rib also. 16 and Paskin up here says, Beinam of Ur, Dafka, in this case, short, Pazar Bakum, but on this case, Shane Rib, Adam, Mazak, Kai, the Lok Sibriadu. And then he points out, we saw Masolgas when it came to Hektish, whether the Xeris Akasim of Rehu applied to all cases of Nizikin, or whether it was limited to this case, short. That sound familiar to everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Chaskinah is a mistubik about the Torah. I just want to point out, it's not obvious that all Rishonim, at the end of the day, think that the Torah is grounded in Re'ehu. The Meiri said it was. The Rambam seemed to have a different basis for the Torah. And the Rambam appeals this idea. And the Marshal, he's quoted Tosfos, as thinking that the Ptur is grounded in Rav Ayatar Goyim, this notion that their property rights are Hefker, not in the Xeris HaKasav of Re'ehu. So there are two statements here. One is, isn't Chaskinach right that the Ptur is grounded in the concept of Re'ehu? Even if it is, then you have a second question, whether it establishes the rule of Hu Adin for Shar Nezikin, or whether it's limited to the case at hand, in this case Shar. No.
What would motivate you to make a distinction between Shar Nezikin and sure.
So
conceptually speaking.
conceptually. So I think what I wanted to suggest in the Hektish case is it's possible to think that only something like Nizke Mamon of a shor depends on a higher level of social cooperation. So my duty not to harm you physically with my person exists even to somebody that I don't share the same road to work with, right? But maybe to impose a duty on me to watch my animal such that it won't harm your property, that's like a greater kind of obligation. So maybe that's limited to like a system that needs to create like social coordination between like two people who need to share like resources. And then it'll be limited to rate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like the best reason that to explain why in this case shor would be treated differently from Adam Hamazah. Alright? Okay, good. That's what I wanted to say for the sugya of Nizke Achon. Should we take 20 minutes now to wrap up Nizke Hefker also?
If you want to.
What?
Sounds like you want to.
I always am ready to push on, but
30 minutes?
Yeah, how you feeling?
You want 30 minutes?
No, I don't think.
What do you guys think? Do you want to take a 1-minute break?